We are now joined by today's winning driver for the Am Better Health 400. That's Joey Logano, driver, the number 22 Auto Trader Ford for Team Penske. And Joey, you have such a rich history and a legacy with this racetrack, but today is your first NASCAR Cup Series win here. What was the difference for you today?
Finally. We've been so close so many times here to get a win, and it's meant so much to me, just the memories, right? Like, I was here when Harvick got his first win. Right? I remember watching that from the grandstands and how cool that was. And racing here with my parents, running Legends cars, thinking about the first time we drove down here and driving through the infield tunnel and thinking this was the biggest racetrack we've ever been to. And we were just down visiting, and we met Kenny Reagan, who runs Legends of Georgia over there, David's dad. And he said, "Why don't you race a Bandolero and give it a shot?" And we did that day. He let us rent one for the weekend, and we raced, and then came back down here about 6 months later when we moved and started racing right here and ran so many races. There's so many memories of showing up here Monday nights and practicing Wednesday nights, and then Thursday nights we'd race, and our race shop was 2 miles up the road. I lived in the condo up there, and the dream was always to race on the big track, right? It's every time you run that quarter mile over and over again, the dream was, man, someday I just want to go straight and hit the big banks. You know, it was what it was about for me. And I guess this win here is for those kids. I got to meet a lot of them this weekend. I'm sure you guys saw them around, a lot of kids that race, and just shows that you keep working hard and chasing your dreams, and the dream of always driving a cup car into that victory lane came true today. It was really neat.
That's awesome. Let's go ahead and open the floor for questions. We'll start with Jordan, and then we'll go to Kelly.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. How would you describe that battle with Brad? Like a cat and mouse, a chess match?
It was just lane versus lane is what it was, right? Inside versus outside. And there was times that I could have almost cleared him and moved up. But I really wanted to get my teammates cleared because I'd much rather have my teammates behind me if I could. And I knew how fast the Team Penske cars were. Obviously, they qualified fast. And I felt like, man, if I can just get them clear, I have a better chance of winning this thing. And I thought I messed up because there, with three, four laps to go, the outside lane got like 4 cars cleared. And I was like, oh, man, I'm too far back. One of them's going to pull down in front of me, and now I'm not the leader of the lane. And then it all kind of changed as quickly as I thought that. Corey moved down to the bottom lane and gave me a hell of a push down the front stretch and was able to clear the 20, who was second on the outside at the time, I think. Or maybe it was a 45. I don't remember, actually. I think it was a 45. And was able to get to Brad's back bumper, and I thought, man, I just got to break the plane here. I got to get the insider. I got to get one or the other. I can't let him stop my momentum. I was able to get to his outside. And then when he came off the corner, he had me pinned up against the wall. And that really was what pinned the 20 behind me to where he had to push me down the back stretch. And so when I backed up to him and got the push, that was enough to clear me with plenty into the final corner and be able to, race them side by side and kind of get the victory lane there. So just a really fast Mustang, very fast Team Penske car. And just special to win here for multiple reasons. We talked about, just the heritage, but also Auto Trader's backyard, Coca-Cola's backyard, and headquartered in Atlanta is a lot of really big things, for winning here. So great day for sure.
Was there any move? I mean, were you anticipating every move he was making because you know him so well and you like, oh, he's going to do that, and then he did it?
I know Brad really well on and off the racetrack, right? And I know he's going to do anything to win a race, and rightfully so, right? I wouldn't say our racing mentalities are very different, and that's why, I feel like we get along well, but we also sometimes have clashed on a track every now and again, not very often, but, we both race really, really hard. I felt like we're definitely going to duke it out, when I got to his outside, it was either he was going to wreck or we were going to just race and hopefully he was going to get the big push on the bottom. That was his only hope there. So it just ultimately ended up working out fine. But, it's fun racing with him. to answer your question, I guess, because you kind of have an idea of what he's thinking a little bit. But and also with TJ, right? He's a spotter, and he was my spotter for years. So I kind of have an idea of what information TJ's feeding him, and it all just kind of worked out for us.
Yep. We're going to go Kelly, Dustin, Bob, Dalton.
Kelly Crandall, Racer.com. Joey, you spoke there about trying to get your teammates clear. Coleman was giving you really good information about Austin getting tight off the corner. He kept losing momentum down there, and the bottom would drag back a little bit. Did you ever have thoughts of ditching the bottom, or you seem to be stayed pretty committed to the bottom?
I did stay committed to the bottom because my teammates were down there. And Coleman did an amazing job kind of painting that picture of what that looked like for me. He's so good at what he does. It's ridiculous. It's so much fun to listen to him and talk to him before the race, and the homework that he does, and how well he understands the sport. It really helps me. And you know, when he was telling me all this stuff, I'm like, I know, like I see it. He's telling me about it. I'm like, I know, but I wonder if I should get up, but I really wanted my teammates to work with me. And it's hard to have that conversation back and forth while we're racing, but I really felt like the Team Penske cars were so fast, and I just thought, man, if we stay together, it'd be good. And then towards the end of the run is when no one was able to stay close enough together anymore, right? The 2 was falling off the 12, and they couldn't really stay close enough to keep the run going down the straightaways, and that's when we started kind of falling apart. Just probably too many laps on the bottom and grinding the tires off of them, and it's not much tire wear, but there is some. Tires did mean a little bit, and I think eventually when the tires were starting to wear, handling is coming in, and I think that's where we eventually just kind of lost each other there towards the end.
You said after wrecking out at Las Vegas, the Fords were behind. Last week seemed like a long day for you guys. You fell behind early at Phoenix. Is today a step in the right direction, or was today more an indication of the super speedway speed that you all have?
It's an indication of the direction we've went. I think it's pretty obvious. I think the whole garage knows what direction we've gone at this point, and where our strengths are going to be and where our weaknesses are going to be. And, you know, our strengths definitely, obviously, when you see the top 8 qualifying is Fords, well, you pretty much know what their strengths are at that point. And, right, I mean, it's pretty easy to see it. So, yeah, that was we knew we needed to come here and maximize our day. And stage win, a pole, leading a bunch of laps, almost had a second stage win if I didn't make a mistake there. But ultimately, at least I didn't make a mistake on the last lap.
Dustin?
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Joey, after you got the push from Corey on the last lap on the bottom lane, you moved up to the top lane to get on the right side of Brad, and it seems like that there was just very little room to make that room to get up to the top to get squeezed between Brad's car and Christopher Bell's car. Can you kind of take me through that, what you recall, and just how, I mean, maybe that's just a move you just have to make, and why there wasn't a wreck at that point, because how many times have we seen wrecks at the end of, like, super speedway type of races that go into double, triple overtimes because guys keep running into each other?
Yeah, I mean, this worked out. I don't know. My car was able to take a push really well, and when Corey clobbered me at start finish line, it gave me such a big run, and I thought it's going to be close to clearing the 20. I think I can, and I committed to the move, and it was either he was going to have to release the wheel, lift, or something. I was going to come up, because when you get a run like that on the last lap, you can't lift. You can't. And I knew, you know, Brad saw us on the bottom, so he's going to block the bottom initially. So I have to go where he's not. And where he's not is going to be up the racetrack. So I had to get up there and try to slip to his outside. And ultimately, that's the move that was going to win the race, right? If I got to his inside, you have a chance, maybe a 20% chance of winning the race, depending on what kind of push you get down the backstretch, but most likely we weren't going to win the race. And so when I had a big enough run and I thought, man, I could open the wheel and maybe get to his outside here, that was kind of the difference maker. And once I broke the plane and pulled him back, then it was pretty much game over for him.
Obviously, Corey would have loved to have won, but he said he certainly was happy for you with the friendship, I guess, that you guys have. Career best fourth place finish for him to see somebody – I mean, we've seen it before at this track and some others, you know, Daytona, Talladega, but to see somebody who's had to fight, struggle, and to get these opportunities. From your perspective, what is it like to see somebody like Corey get a top five and have a career best finish today?
Yeah, it's a great day for him. You know, shoot, he almost won the race here last time, so I don't think any of us are surprised by it. You know, the race is coming towards the end. I was like, oh, there he is. Where's he been all day? You know, and Corey just kind of popped up there. So, you know, they've obviously given him a really good race car, handling race car that can go fast and be able to allow him to make some moves on the racetrack. And he made some good moves there towards the end and obviously got himself a good spot. And, you know, his thing is, I mean, he had to run. If he went underneath me, he's probably not winning the race, right? His best chance was to give me the shot there. And so it worked out well. There's another kid that raced out there with me when we were kids, right? And now we're working together out there on the racetrack. It's pretty cool. Yep.
Okay, we're going to go to Bob, then to Dalton, then to Toby.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I have two. The first, like, so were you surprised there was no big wreck at the end of this race?
Yeah, I mean, it happens every time. And if you watched a truck in Xfinity race, well, you would probably bet on it. There is going to be a caution at the end of this thing. And there was a few, but they never really ended up being like really big crashes. Everyone did a good job at avoiding them. And, you know, I think one of the biggest things is that everyone bolts a lot more grip into their car when they come here compared to Daytona or Talladega. They got their cars trimmed out more and, the cars are able to take a push better, right? I mean, think about how hard we were hitting each other. If you did that at Daytona, you wreck. So the seems to me the fix is just a little bit more grip, allow everybody to, you know, be able to handle their race car. And honestly, Goodyear brought a better tire, and the teams have learned a lot too. A lot of the cautions before were from tires popping. We didn't have that today. Right. And to the point that you had green flag pit stops, you know, we didn't really think that was going to happen. Let's be honest. We didn't think green flag stops was going to happen. But you know, and it all went smooth too, right? The new pit road, all that stuff, it worked out well.
And speaking of things that you didn't think were going to happen, I would say your performance at the previous two races, Vegas and Phoenix, especially after last year winning both those races, I assume it was maybe, I don't know what, if you would characterize it as maybe startling, but kind of what was the attitude of this team or maybe you know, were you guys deflated after last week at all? Or you kind of, what was the atmosphere around your group?
I wouldn't say deflated. You know, we know the situation we're in this year, and we know we have to be perfect all the time. And if there's a team that can do it, it's this team that knows how to do that. And we were not perfect last week in Phoenix, right? I misguided the team with the setup after practice, and we paid the penalty with the first round of the race. And then by the time we got it good, we got going pretty well, and then we had a rough day on pit road, and we weren't perfect. If we were perfect, we could have done exactly what the 12 did and had a chance to win the race, right? And if we were too far back to put two tires on it and have a chance to win there. So we can win anywhere at any point because the team's strong. We just had an off day, right? I mean, that's all I can say. And we know when we come to racetracks like this, we're going to be really, really good and have the dominant race cars. And so we need to maximize days like this, like we did. And so just a different situation than we had last year. And we just have to learn to race a little bit differently.
Okay, we're going to go to Dalton, then to Toby, then we're going to go upstairs to the press box. Go ahead, Dalton.
Hey, Joey. Dalton Hopkins of frontstretch.com. So I got this stat from a coworker, and apparently this is your first Cup Series win for Penske with a primary sponsor that's not Shell Pennzoil.
That's true.
Were you aware of that?
Oh yeah.
So can you talk about?
I've been reminded.
Well, excellent. So can you talk about what a win for these sponsors mean? We always hear about what they mean for, you know, the race teams and the drivers and things like that. But can you talk about how much a sponsor, a primary sponsor, values finishing so well on a car in victory lane?
It means a lot. You know, Auto Trader has been a partner of Team Penske, I think, for 8 years or so. And they won here, I believe, with Brad in the past. And I've been close a few times, and I've wrecked this car plenty of times. So it felt good to finally win with this thing. You know, and yeah, it feels kind of weird that, like, you know, I've, you know, with AAA on the car as well, we've been close so many times for the last 10 years, and haven't been able to win with that one yet either. So, yeah, finally won one without the shell on the car, and definitely a little different for sure, but nice to get them a victory as well here. So we'll try to click one off for AAA later this year too. Thanks.
Toby.
Hey, Joey. Toby Christie, TobyChristie.com. You talked earlier about the amount of knowledge you have about Brad Keselowski because you guys have run together so many times in the past. Talk about the respect level that you guys showed to each other. I know things were intense in the last few laps, but it seemed like there was a lot of respect shown in the last couple laps.
Yeah, I think we both know we're good at this, right? Like, I mean, I feel like Brad is one of the top five best speedway racers on the racetrack. I feel like I'm in there, and there's a few others that are in there that you just know are really, really good at it. And, you know, when we're kind of duking it out back and forth, we're side by side and we're side drafting each other and all this, like, okay, like, this is, you know, what you would expect. And it's fun going up against the best like that. You know, it's he works really hard at it. He studies it. He's really smart at speedway racing for sure. And, you know, when you think of driver and spotter combinations, you know, you're going against two of the best right there. Right. And so whether it's TJ and Brad or myself and Coleman, you know, if I'm picking a couple pairings of people that get it, understand a draft, those two groups are the best at it. And so it was fun to kind of go back and forth there at the end.
And when you've had so many things on track in the past, like you guys have had, is there like a nerve wracking moment where you think if you do go over the line, you kind of, you know, get into a crash that maybe he's going to be really mad at you?
No.
Okay.
No. No, I don't think that thought went through my mind at all. I knew we were going to race the heck out of each other, and I think we both understand it. We want to win, and we kind of leave the feelings at the door.
Okay, we're going to go up the stairs of the press box for a couple questions before coming back down. Go ahead, press box.
Hey, Joey, Jeff Hood of Racing Today. What were the emotions like when you turned around and the first person that came and greeted you was your father?
That was cool. Obviously, I didn't see him coming. And I think that was neat to see that. There's been plenty of times he's run out to the start finish line to give me a hug here maybe 20-something years ago. So that was a... Like I said, this was a kind of an emotional win when you think about just what Atlanta Motor Speedway is all about to our family and the memories that are made here. This is one that we'll definitely remember forever. So it's cool to have my dad here to celebrate with.
Additional questions from the press box?
Chris Knight, CatchFence.com. Joey, with how draining or mentally challenging is Atlanta now compared to a Daytona or Talladega?
Every cup race is tough. It doesn't matter where it is. It's all tough in its own way. You know, in Atlanta, you know, now the speedway racing that it is, but it's also, you know, handling comes into play a lot, and you got to think of it in a different, you know, light than what you do at those type racetracks at Daytona or Talladega. It's kind of a mix in between it. It's confused on what it wants to be. I'd say it's going through puberty. It's like an awkward stage. It doesn't know what it wants to be, but if it's a short track or a mile and a half or it's a super speedway, it gets, you know, at times in the race, it feels like it's going back to a regular mile and a half as tires wear out, but then you put tires on and it's easy, wide open, and it changes the game. So you just got to be evolving and changing a lot as you go along with it. And yeah, mentally you're exhausted. You know, physically, maybe not the most physically demanding racetrack, but mentally, yeah, I'm shot.
Okay, we're going to come back down to the floor here with Steve in the back and Steven in the black.
Steve Connolly, the podium finish back here in the sunshine, Joey.
Yeah.
I know there's not many drivers that are going to say they're comfortable with speedway racing, but over a third of your speedway finish, super speedway finishes are inside of the top 10. Do you find a little bit of comfort racing this style?
No. I don't think anyone feels comfortable when you line up for a super speedway. Because honestly, I mean, I feel like half the races I finish. So it feels like, so when you strap in and kind of feel like you got a 50-50 chance of seeing the checkered flag, it's not the most comforting feeling at all. And I'm not sure, typically there's not many drivers that really enjoy speedway racing, but I do get it from a fan's perspective. I sat up there in the Fox booth yesterday, and once everyone was done wrecking each other, the first two stages, the last bit of that race was really entertaining. The Xfinity race I'm talking about, and this race, there wasn't many wrecks at all, and it was really solid racing. There was some interesting things going on. The stage going green and having green flag cycles, that's pretty interesting to see how that played out. And then the race in the final stage was super intense, but cars were in the fence and cars were sliding up, making mistakes, all this stuff going on. We just didn't crash, which was amazing and much better than what it was last time we were here.
And given the start to the season, Chevrolet, obviously, domination, but you talked earlier about the speed that the Fords have had. What does this mean to finally be able to put Ford in victory lane and do it here at Atlanta?
Yeah, I mean, it's great to get a win for Ford early in the season, get in the playoffs. That's huge. And you can go race aggressively. And like I said, we know what tracks we need to maximize. This is definitely one of them, and we were able to do that. Yep.
Steven?
Steven in the black, Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Joey, you referenced all your memories here, racing legends, cars, and bandoleros. Were there any races on that quarter mile that resembled anything like that last lap today?
No, because the racing's so different. I just can't draft a bandolero very much. I think maybe the coolest thing is you think about the garage today and how many of them started right here, right? Or raced here at some point, right? I'm on my team, I'm Coleman, raced out here. I got videos of us racing each other out there. It's just cool, right? You think of Brandon McReynolds, he's spotting, he started here. Austin Hill won yesterday, he raced out here, right? I mean, there's so many. David Reagan, Reed Sorensen, the pitcher over there, right? I mean, just, it's pretty neat to see the success of young racers that raced here and how they're still in the sport today or made an impact in the sport at one point. That says a lot about the program that Ken Reagan's running here. He does a tremendous job at really giving these kids a good opportunity to help guiding the parents. I mean, it's not just the kids, right? Like, I'm realizing this now as I get older and my son's run one race. I thought, oh my gosh, the amount of work it takes as a parent to get the car ready and get it here. And that's a hell of a commitment. I was like, I don't know if I'm quite ready for all this. It's a lot. And so for the whole family. So it's a big deal. And to, like I said, to see that those kids were racing out here, at the time for fun, and they made a career out of it. It's pretty cool.
And you referenced yesterday, I think, on the Xfinity Series broadcast, you stopped and you talked to a couple of kids who are racing legends here now. Was there any particular conversation that you had with them that stuck out to you?
No, honestly, it just brings back a lot of memories because I remember, coming here for Cup weekend and I'd walk around hoping to meet, drivers or an owner and hope that maybe they know my name and someday, they'll remember that they met me and maybe that helped me get a chance to drive a Cup car someday, right? Like, it was a thought. And that's why it's always such a big deal. We raced, on Cup weekend out there. And you hope that, the big guys are watching you. And a lot of times they were. And, that was always a special thing. And obviously their race got rained out this weekend, unfortunately. But, the memories of talking to the kids, right? And they had their hero cards. They signed me hero. I got three hero cards from these kids this weekend, and they signed it for me and all that. And so, you know what? Someday I may be racing against them, right? I mean, it doesn't take too long. It was 10 years before this. I was trying to get Tony Stewart's autograph 10 years before I took his ride. Well, I didn't take his ride. He left, but I replaced him in his car. And right, you think about 10 years goes by just like that. I'll be pretty old in 10 years, so I don't know at this point. But at some point, there's definitely a chance.
Well, hang on to those hero cards. Thank you, Joey.
Yes, right.
Okay, we're going to go up next to Deb, and then we're going to go to Doug, and we'll finish up with Hunter.
Deb Williams, Auto Week. Joy, you talked about Coleman Presley earlier, and you have spotted for him at Hickory when he raced late model. Do you feel like there's so much good communication and relationship there because of his background as a driver and his family's background?
Yeah, I mean, Coleman's my best friend, right? I mean, we grew up together. We were roommates when I moved out of my parents' place, and like we talked to each other every day. There's probably no one besides my wife that knows me better than Coleman does. And so we're able to prepare together and understand what each other's thinking before the race starts. And yeah, I think that's what's made us a real, you know, threat on the racetrack, is that he knows me. Right? He knows exactly what I'm thinking, and he can guide me into the right scenario, even if, like, he knows that I'm thinking a certain direction, and if he sees it's wrong, he can, before I even make the move, he knows to tell me not to do it, right? Like, give me enough information to say, oh, ain't the time, bud. So that's just a really valuable thing to have. You know, even during the race, he knows when I'm going to need some kind of information from Paul and be able to communicate that to me without me asking, right? The distraction of wondering and inside the car is not good, right? And so I think the relationship is the number one thing that makes us great, but I also think his racing knowledge is second to none up there. He really just truly understands speedway racing, for one, but just racing in general. Coleman can call a race if he ever had to. He just smart, gets it. And so I think those things, you know, together, him being able to communicate what he's seeing to me, it works out really well. So I think when you get the three of us together, right, Coleman, Paul, myself, on the radio, the communications is good, and we're able to kind of fill in each other's gaps, right? We're three very different people, and we're able to kind of fill in each other's gaps, which makes us a solid team. Yep.
Doug? Thank you, Matt. Doug Turnbull from PRN and WSB Radio in Atlanta. Coming into the race, there was all this talk about that turn three start of pit road, and it actually got tested under scheduled green flag stops, and I believe that was a sequence that may have gotten you all a little bit further back. I'm not sure, but what was that like, trying to take that long pit road under green and managing the lights, and did it make you nervous when you realized you were coming on that lap 130-ish window there?
I wasn't as nervous about myself doing it. I was more nervous about a caution coming out after we pitted and it hasn't cycled through and you're stuck down. I don't know if we're down one or two laps. But that was more the, oh, I think we were down one, but the leader was right behind me, like right behind me. And we still cycled out to the lead on that whole thing. But it was fine. Just, you can't make a mistake because the, you know, rolling down another time, it's like the death penalty. That's a tough one for to overcome in the race, which Blaney was able to overcome, actually, which I didn't think was possible. So it ended up working out for him. But it ended up working out, right? I mean, if we had green flag stops with the old pit road, I'm not sure we'd get through a cycle, because where everyone had to slow down is in the middle of the draft, and it would have been a mess. So kudos to NASCAR for realizing there's an issue with the racetrack, and we needed to come up with some kind of fix for that scenario, and it actually happened. So I'm glad we did something, and it ended up working out just fine.
We'll wrap up here with Hunter.
Hey, Joey, Hunter Thomas with the4thturn.com. For kids that are wanting to be like you, how important is it to start off in the Bandos and the Legends rather than just jumping to a late model stock or a super late model?
I mean, it probably depends on your age some, but I think it's just a good way to learn the basics of racing, right? I mean, I always say this is your college education in a way, right? I say it when I have an RCD. And what's that mean? I have a race car driver, right? I don't have a PhD, but I got an RCD. And that comes from years of racing and actually going out there and doing it. You know, learning about your race car, working on your race car, learning the craft out there. But most importantly, having fun, right? I mean, that's the biggest thing. When you're racing out here at this level, don't make it too serious, right? I mean, you need to try hard. Don't get me wrong. But you need to enjoy it and have fun, because you never know when that's going to end, right? Not everyone gets the opportunity to drive a race car, right? And you get to push a car as hard as you possibly can and race it. Yeah, that's cool, and you never know when that's going to end. So you got to always enjoy what you're doing. If you don't enjoy it, stop, because that's the most fun you're ever going to have driving a race car is right here. Right? I mean, because eventually it turns into a job. And don't get me wrong, I love my job, but there's a lot more that goes into this at this point than just going having fun. It's not a hobby anymore. And at that level, it should be a hobby. It should be fun and something you do with your family and to enjoy that. But also take the opportunity to learn as much as possible to work on your RCD. Yep.
Well, Joey, congratulations on the victory, and good luck next week in Austin, Texas, Circuit of the Americas.
Thank you very much. See you there.